Hello and welcome back to 414 Footy. I'm Jack Goods, joined by Sebastian Becerra as always. Sebastian, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, good. We are back to talk through our last episode that you heard us was right before our trip to go see Ford Madison. Thought it'd be a good time to talk through how that experience went. I think I can speak for both of us when I say we had a really good time.
Yeah.
And there are, I think, some lessons learned from the experience, which is why we really wanted to chat about it, because it's not a one-to-one equivalent between Ford Madison and what the experience will hopefully be like with Milwaukee Pro Soccer. If you're here to find out if there's any update, you're going to be disappointed. But it is still much of the same ownership group and a level up from what Ford Madison is now. So there are some lessons, I think, in the game day experience that we can take.
Yeah, yeah.
But it might be a little bit bigger, theoretically, in Milwaukee, being in the USL Championship as opposed to USL League One, being in 8,000-seat Iron District as opposed to the 5,000-seat Breece Stevens. But I'll turn things over to you, Sebastian.
Yeah.
Just initial first takeaways. We went to see Ford Madison play AV Alta on August 2nd. What did you think?
Yeah, no, a great game day experience, right? The fans, you know, lined up, you know, 30 to 45 minutes before the game even starts, lining up outside the stadium to get in. There's a couple bars around the stadium that you can, you know, do some, you know, pre-gaming action. That was exciting. We visited that local bar right next door to the stadium. A stadium that wasn't really built for soccer. I think it was built for football, if I'm not mistaken. But it worked. I mean, they've been playing there for many years. Ford Madison has, the home of Ford Madison, and had a lot of fun. Really excited. We were in the fan section. We were in the kind of like the ultras section, you could call it. There was people that were doing chants throughout the entire game, keeping the fans engaged, and it was an exciting matchup. Scoreless draw, but one of the more exciting scoreless draws that I've witnessed. A lot of good shots, a lot of chances to score. So overall, I would give it, you know, an A as far as the game day experience goes. And more than anything, I also came away with one of their really sleek kits, the jerseys from their fan shop. That was exciting. They have a lot of great jerseys there available for the fans. So really cool.
Yeah, I think I want to get back to that, loop back to that later when it comes to the gear, because I do think that is a big aspect of this club and what the Ford Madison group does really well. To kind of walk through the experience, like you said, Breece Stevens it was not originally built for Ford Madison. Ford Madison has been playing there since 2019, but you know, it's a stadium that is actually quite old and has hosted tons of Madison events. I think it's opened in 1926. So they've done significant renovations over the years.
They've gone through two world, almost two world wars.
It has been a journey with Breece Stevens, but I thought still a very, they put a lot of money into making sure it is as modern as possible in that. We saw some of the nice amenities there. When it comes to this level of soccer, I do think that the fan experience is always important at games, but especially when you consider this is attracting an audience that is not all diehards, not all huge soccer fans. It reminds me a bit of how I can convince some friends of mine to come along to a baseball game who might not be huge baseball fans, because it's just nice to be there. It's a fun day out.
It's something to do.
Yeah. You're outside in the summer. You're with friends. So they do a lot of things around the stadium that I think would be a real influence for anything they do in Milwaukee when it comes to having a section where people can all stand and hang out, a kind of like beer garden sort of setup on one end. On the other end,
petting zoo. I think they had, like, what was it, llamas, alpacas? What did they have there?
The famous cows.
Cows,
Wonderfully named Lionel Bessie and Rose Cowbell, which I just think is great. And the kids love the cows. Lots of little things like that that make it a more than just a soccer match, which is, I think, really helpful for attracting that casual audience, making sure you do fill it. And we enjoyed one of the better attended games of the year.
Absolutely.
From what I've been told, it was a beautiful Saturday. I mean, you really couldn't have asked for much better. it was a 0-0 draw, but I think the fact that we both left it feeling like that was fun says a lot about just what the experience is like going and being in the flock, that ultra section that you discussed. You know, you're standing the whole time. It took me a couple minutes to like get all the cheers down to kind of it was like, okay, you go through it once and I'll kind of figure out the pattern.
Yeah.
And that group is just super, obviously super invested. It just makes for a pretty full experience when it's really rocking there. You feel like you're a part of something.
Yeah. And you want to go back, right? Obviously, you know, Ford Madison isn't doing too well this season, but you wouldn't know it based off of the attendance, based off of, you know, the flock section, the events going on around the stadium. They have a bar inside the stadium, basically, for post-game beverages or even just during the game. We frequented that bar after the game just to kind of catch up and wind down. But, you know, it was great. I think overall, it provides, like you said, experiences for all types of people. You can have a family day out at the stadium, watch a little footy, and then also enjoy the concessions and the different events going on before the game, during the game, and after the game. So overall, yeah, a great experience and something to learn from. Once the Milwaukee Pro Soccer team comes to town here downtown, definitely can take a lot of things from that experience, that game day experience that we just talked about, to Milwaukee.
And I think important too was it was quite easy to get to. You could park really easily. I'm kind of curious if they go forward with the Iron District where it's currently slated, what the parking will be like there. But I do think that's we were able to have a full day in Madison and easily get over there in time, park for free on the street, walk to the nearby bar, like having that sort of experience too. The gear. Go back to that.
Yeah.
Because if there was a place that was as packed as it felt like the post-game bar was or the crowd was, it was the shop, which, I mean, just has so many options. And it's all very cool and, no pun intended, fashion forward. They've
nice.
Figured out how to make themselves a brand as much as they are a soccer club. And I think, I mean, I don't have the books in front of me. I imagine a very large percentage of their income comes from gear.
I was about to say, I mean, Jack, based on the amount of people that were packed in their pregame, we were in there like sardines looking for nice jerseys, cool hats, other apparel, scarves. They have it all. And there was a couple hundred people in a space as big as this living room we're in right now. I mean, it was just crazy. I would bet dollars to donuts that they sell the most merchandise out of all the teams in, you know, USL League One. I don't have it offhand, but my goodness, it was just a cool experience. Just there's all these people coming in and they want to buy this, and the selection was insane.
Yeah, I mean, Rob Chaffel over at Talk of Flock, I know he's mentioned this joke that I think a few people in Madison have, that this year they're the team with more kits than wins. because yeah, it's been,
oh,
like
man.
You mentioned, it's been a little bit of a struggle at points.
A lot of draws.
A lot of different, like when we saw them, they were wearing kits that were designed after kilts. So they have that going on. You got the icebreaker jersey, which is great.
Yeah.
Pink and blue. I was wearing the uniforms from last year, which just had complicated patterns of M's and F's. It's like, they push the limit when it comes to design. It's made them internationally known.
It has. I mean, people know them from all over the world for their kits. And I would say the designer who works on the Forward Madison kits now, you know, save their number for when Milwaukee Pro Soccer comes to town, because I want something similar with, you know, these options of different jerseys for the Milwaukee Pro Soccer team, different designs, all this apparel. I want to have as many jerseys as possible when they come in and be able to wear their merch on a, you know, day-to-day basis, go to the games, and that's how you get your brand out there too. And Forward Madison, like you said, world-renowned with their kits. Milwaukee can get there, and it certainly helps that they have the same ownership group.
Yeah, it was certainly back when they launched, they were like the talk of the town. The new version, and Rob's actually talked about this too, the new version of Forward Madison might be the Portland Hearts of Pine, which is another League One team up in Maine, which had just a great look. Very Maine, very L.L. Bean. It's they have also now been selling kits across the country and I imagine across the world. When it came to the whole experience, I don't know if I know I mentioned this to you that day. I don't know if you felt it a little too. As we sit here with still not a ton of real updates, it made me frustrated, a little sad that the experience that we had there, I'm just getting more and more concerned that we're just not going to get that here because I had so much fun. And it's like, we'll be going back, but I'd love to not have to drive an hour and 20 minutes to go experience that.
Yeah.
And I just left there being like, oh, really? If this came here, if this really does come together, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to love being a part of this. It just made me like, it made it sink into me just like, oh, I really, really want this to happen. And you know, I by the day, I'm just less certain. And it's a bummer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if anything, it hopefully is a sign of things to come, of what it could look like. Game day experience, soccer action, kind of that neighborhood fan base cheering on the team. Hopefully it's not one of those situations where, well, this is the best we're going to do here in Wisconsin, right? You know, we want a championship side. The plans are still there. It seems like they're either paused or they're, like we've mentioned in previous episodes, looking for some more investors, some more funding. But it definitely left me with excitement of this is fun. Now let's try to match that in Milwaukee. So hopefully in future episodes or, you know, down the line here, come 2026, we can get some more clarity on where things stand with the team in Milwaukee. But yeah, I did get a sense of that as well.
Yeah, and since we last spoke and since we went to the game, this group also did announce another team, which is the Madison women's team that is launching too. So
yeah,
they're clearly still willing to start projects. It's not exactly what a lot of people in Madison hoped with this team. The USL had launched a Division I league to be at that equal level of the NWSL, similar to what they are trying to do now with this new setup with promotion and relegation and have a Division I men's league. That started a couple of years ago, and there was hope that Madison would get there. Part of it is just they need to invest a lot more money into the stadium to reach that Division I, Level I status. Instead, they'll be in the USL Women's League, which is a little bit closer to USL 2 for the men, which is just a refresher. The top tier right now is USL Championship, where Milwaukee will be playing. There's USL League 1, where Madison is now, and then USL League 2, which is semi-professional.
What the level is where the women's team will likely be.
Yeah, so they'll be at USLW, which is a little bit, I would say, from what I've had limited knowledge of it, there might be a little bit more, it might be a bit higher level because there are just less options for women's professional players at the moment. There isn't two full built out huge second division and third divisions like there are on the men's side, but it's a new team that they're going to be kicking off soon. So hopefully that means there's still some excitement, still some movement to keep building. And it's a good side for Milwaukee, but there has not been any more discussion about Milwaukee besides that.
Did they pause the Milwaukee project to just focus on the new women's team in Madison, or like what's going? Yeah. Just some of my ideas that are coming to mind. Obviously we don't know the timeline yet, but I'm assuming they're hoping to push this team through in the next year or so, the women's team. But
yeah. That is the plan. They're going through now the process of people can submit name ideas.
Oh.
They can become founding members.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
Yeah.
To what we had in Milwaukee 2, 3, 4 years ago, however long ago it was. Yeah. But
I think the big difference, like when I go to the Ford Madison experience, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, I think about how it's a little concerning to me that when things aren't working right on Milwaukee's side, because Madison shows that this is a really competent group that knows what they're doing, that can do great on social, can put together a great game day experience. It's like, okay, when they're not doing that in Milwaukee, that means something. They had the advantage with Bree Stevens having been there since the 20s that they were able to walk into a stadium. It's a really different experience, and they have to build the Iron District from scratch.
I think that's the crux of the issue, right? They have that great game day experience. Bree Stevens was already there, and they just adopted it as their home. Ford Madison did. And now we have a situation where they're wanting to build an entire new stadium in an area that doesn't have a lot of real estate left, open real estate left. Downtown Milwaukee is pretty packed right now with all the new renovations, and there's construction almost every week now in downtown. So they're definitely trying to continue building up, but there's not a lot of space. So that is probably the biggest, and what we've addressed it many times, probably the biggest holdup. I hope soon, I keep saying this, but I hope soon we get some kind of news on that, where we're at. Until then, we'll travel to Forward Madison to Madison to enjoy some more games.
Yeah, I mean, if I don't know if you have any final stray thoughts. My last note would be, I was able to get one of the student tickets by being a grad student, and I gotta give a shout out to that deal, because anyone in Madison who is a student with fees, I think it was $20, you get a ticket to the Flock End, which is the most fun part to be in, I think. I went, this was my second Ford Madison game. I had gone once a season before under just the regular stands. Way more fun to be in with the ultras and to be chanting along the whole game. But you get that and two beers for $20. Like, I don't think you can get a better deal than that. So I'd give that a shout out. It's an affordable experience, and I think that we'll see that here too. Anything else? Or should we close this up, Sebastian?
Oh, hey, that great experience overall. Enjoyed the trip to Madison and kind of living that game day experience before the game, during the game, after the game. And definitely a lot of things to keep in the back of our minds as notes for when the Milwaukee Pro Soccer team comes here. A lot of things to learn from and build towards.